Good morning. I'm pleased to welcome all of you to our beautiful Iowa State Capitol building. I especially thank all the students that have come to join us this morning. And this is our weekly press conference. Today with us, we have students from Waukee, from Sioux City, from Cardinal of Elgin in Wapello County, and from Marshalltown. In addition, my wife, Chris Branstad, has joined us, Dr. Paul Gausman, superintendent of the Sioux City Schools, Cecilia Martinez, a student at Marshalltown High School, has joined with Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds and me here for this special press conference. Before I share more, I'd like to show a brief video.
It stressed me out dramatically to the point where my grades slipped and I wasn't focusing on school, I was focusing on what people were going to say that day.
It was heartbreaking. We send our kids to school thinking that our kids are going to be safe, and come to find out, my son was being bullied, being tormented in school. It hurt tremendously as a parent to see he couldn't enjoy what he was supposed to be enjoying in school.
It's suffocating. Cyberbullying is just like a giant cloud over your head. You can't leave it. It's always following you.
With social media, it's not just one person that sees it. It's thousands. It's hundreds of thousands. It's never erased.
I laid in my bed and read through all the comments and was like, oh, this person hates me. Oh, this person hates me. Wow, look what they're saying about me. And I couldn't help but, you know, it made me more depressed. It made me more willing and wanting to kill myself.
Iowa common sense tells us that every child in Iowa deserves to go to school each and every day in a safe and respectful learning environment. They deserve a classroom and a community that allows them to grow and flourish, not live in fear of when the bully will strike again.
It's important that we show that we care, and that as a state that we're doing all we can to make sure we have policies in place to assure students and their families that they're going to get the help they deserve.
I think it's important for all children, no matter what age in the state, to know that they have an ally in their governor and first lady.
You can make a difference. You can be a part of stopping that and making sure that students have a safe environment to learn in.
The Capitol has this one chance to fight for those who can't fight for themselves, for those who are not strong enough to fight for themselves. You can be the change.
Bottom line is this, is that it's so important to implement this particular bill in order to save lives.
This is the year that we stand up to the bully. We can't wait any longer. Please join Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, my wife Chris, and me in standing up against bullying.
Let's end bullying in Iowa.
End bullying in Iowa.
End bullying in Iowa.
End bullying in Iowa.
Let's end bullying in Iowa.
Let's end bullying in Iowa.
I want to thank Verizon for their generous gift that helped make it possible for us to do this, and also the University of Northern Iowa Foundation. I also want to acknowledge Jake Stallman and his mother, Tanya McEntee, who are in the video. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks for being here. We're all here today because we share a common goal of ending bullying in Iowa. We know that every Iowan, every Iowa child deserves a safe and respectful learning environment. As Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds, my wife Chris, and I traveled the state last fall to hold anti-bullying discussions, the message we heard was clear. It's time for us to pass a bill to end bullying in Iowa. The Bully Free Iowa Act of 2015 works to empower schools by giving them the resources to stop bullying. It empowers parents through parental notification. Unless the student and a school official believe the notification would lead to abuse, neglect, or rejection. And it empowers students by launching a student mentor program. This is the year that we can stand up to bullying. Together, we can end bullying in Iowa. Together, we can pass meaningful legislation to give schools, parents, and students the resources that they need. I believe we can do it while school is still in session this year to demonstrate our commitment to providing students with a safe and respectful learning environment everywhere in Iowa. And now, I want to welcome Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds to the podium.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor Branstad. And I am so impressed with the attendance at this anti-bullying day of action at the Capitol. The students that are here today and those that we met with around the state, they are sending a very clear message. And that message is, let's end bullying in Iowa. Last year, Governor Branstad and I were pleased that each chamber passed an anti-bullying bill. But since they were passed in different forms, the bill was not sent to the governor for his signature. We believe that this year's bill addresses concerns that were raised last year. For example, if a student transfers schools because of bullying, our bill allows them to immediately participate in varsity sports. As the governor mentioned, the parental notification requirement can be waived if rejection, neglect, or abuse is a concern. After seeing students take the initiative to prevent bullying, like in Sioux City, we've included a student mentoring pilot program where students step up and take a leadership role in their schools in preventing bullying. And we've included investigator training to help identify and end bullying in our schools. We believe that this bill can win broad bipartisan support this year. We can't wait any longer. I would encourage all of the students, all of the parents, teachers, and legislators here today to join the conversation. It will take our communities and it will take our state working together to end bullying. So join us in sharing your support for ending bullying by tweeting using the hashtag #EndBullyingIA. So thank you again for being here. Thank you for doing what you can to stop bullying. And now it is my pleasure to bring to the podium a champion for students across this state for ensuring that every child has a safe environment to learn in, our great First Lady, Chris Branstad.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Reynolds. I'm extremely pleased to be at the state capitol this morning for this very special event. As the mother of three children and grandmother of six, it's heartbreaking to hear about students being bullied. As First Lady, I have heard firsthand about the devastation caused by bullying in my work with Youth and Shelter Services and the Achieving Maximum Potential organization, which is a statewide group that helps foster and adoptive children in Iowa. During my work with these two organizations, I saw young people who had been bullied turn to alcohol and drugs as a way to cope with their depression or long-term effects of bullying. Bullying is serious. Bullying is harmful. It is a public health problem that has a lasting impact on the well-being of our children, both students who are bullied and the bullies themselves. Even children who just observe bullying, who don't participate in any way, report feeling less connected and less supported by responsible adults according to the Centers for Disease Control. The good news is we can work together to prevent bullying before it happens and to figure out better ways to respond to bullying when it does occur. School districts across Iowa and the nation have stepped up to better address the problem of bullying. Many communities are working closely with their schools. These collaborative efforts make all the difference. There's nothing worse than a student who dreads going to school because he or she will be bullied, whether the bullying takes place in person on campus or while at home on social media. That's why I believe, from the very beginning, children must be taught that we should treat each other with respect, and that means respecting other people no matter what. And as you have heard from my husband and Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds, this is the year to end bullying in Iowa. And judging by today's event and the number of students who have joined us in the rotunda, I believe we are taking a strong step forward on that front. Thank you so much.
Chris, thank you very much for your leadership and thanks for joining us. And now it's my pleasure to introduce a superintendent that's really taken an active role in combating bullying in his own school in Sioux City. He's also testified at both of the anti-bullying summits and has been actively involved behind the scenes to get the support of his colleagues. I'm pleased to introduce Sioux City School Superintendent, Dr. Paul Gausman.
Thank you, Governor, and thank you for this opportunity on this important topic. Students, those of you in the orange shirts and those of you near the orange shirts, this is about you. We know that you must feel safe in order to learn in school. I'm proud to be here today with students from our district, about 30 of them, and our three high school building principals, Ryan Dumkrieger, Richard Todd, and Jackie Wyant. These students that are with them serve as mentors in our district in our MVP program, or Mentors in Violence Prevention program. You see, in Sioux City, we've been on a focused journey to mitigate the challenge of bullying in our schools. We've participated in a national documentary. We've been involved in state and national events. And we've had some success, but we understand in Sioux City that we are not unique because we have bullying in our schools, and we understand that Iowa is not unique because there is bullying in Iowa schools, but Iowa can become unique. We want to become unique in Sioux City by being part of the solution in this challenge, just as will happen through this proposed legislation. This bill is good for Iowa students, schools, and communities. Because of the parent notification component that was already mentioned, because of the authority that it can give us to deal with cyberbullying that occurs through social media, because of the training that will happen for those who investigate and follow through on instances of bullying in our schools. Simply put, this will give us more tools in our toolbox in our districts to fix some of the biggest challenges of bullying in our schools. I again want to say that I appreciate the governor and the lieutenant governor, the first lady, for making education and the needs of Iowa students such a high priority in their administration. Thank you so much for your time today.
Dr. Gausman, thank you very much. And now I'm very pleased to introduce a student that Lieutenant Governor and the First Lady and I met on our travels around last fall, Cecilia Martinez from Marshalltown High School. Cecilia?
Thank you for inviting me here. I have always felt very strongly on the topic of bullying, and I believe it is very important that we continue our conversations on it in all of our communities. Even in a time when technology is all around us and it's a constant, cyberbullying itself can be hard to understand. Cyberbullying is defined as follows: the act of harassing someone online by sending or posting mean messages, usually anonymously, This can happen over various social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, or even on text and through email. But as technology advances, so will bullying. People don't simply stop at sending messages anymore. Things like hacking and impersonations are also becoming more popular. And I believe students use cyberbullying a lot more than they used to because they believe that they cannot be held accountable, especially not by schools. And this can sometimes be right. Not all schools have the ability to address any kind of bullying that happens off school grounds. But the Bully Free Iowa Act will give the schools the ability to interfere in anything that happens outside of school grounds, and this will include cyberbullying. And this is something that's extremely important because things that happen to students outside of school will follow them in school, and it will affect their grades and their home life. And children at a younger and younger age are being exposed to technology. They're getting Twitter accounts, they have Facebooks, and so I believe it is also important that we educate students at a younger age. And the most important thing we must remember about cyberbullying is that behind that screen, there is a real life person being affected by your words. And so I join you all to stand together to end bullying in Iowa. Thank you.
Thank you, Superior. Well done. Thank you. Thank you, Cecilia. I'd also like to thank the broad coalition of groups which are found in the press release. We are extremely proud of the fact that we have a very broad coalition of groups that have joined us this year, have stepped up to support this important piece of legislation. With that, we would now open it to your questions. Cecilia, would you come up?
I have younger nieces and nephews who have unfortunately encountered bullying in their lives. My niece, especially over social media and things like that, she's had to delete her Facebook and her Twitter because she's had some issues with other classmates and things like that. So, C-E-C-I-L-I-A. Martinez, M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z. I'm a senior at Marshalltown. Yes. Yes. It was mentioned before in the video that when bullying happens over social media, it's constant. You know, if you have a phone, usually you're always on it and you're always looking at it, always checking it. And so it's very easy for a number of people to just constantly send streams of negative messages towards you. And it's sometimes really hard. Well, most of the time, it's very hard to ignore. And so, especially younger kids who don't know how to protect themselves online and how to stay secure, they're especially vulnerable. 18. Yes, online on certain, just bad words here and there, but I've usually just learned to ignore it and things like that. But I know younger students have a lot more trouble with that. And
other questions on this subject for any of the people up here? We're very optimistic. Last year, an anti-bullying bill passed both houses of the legislature, but not in the same form. This year, based on the discussions, and the Lieutenant Governor mentioned this in her remarks, we've made changes in the proposed legislation to meet some of the concerns that were expressed last year. And we're very optimistic, very hopeful that we will see action on it. There's a number of legislators that are here. I want to thank them. I see Representative Sanderson. We visited his school at North Lynn. Representative Jorgensen, of course, is the chair of the Education Committee. And, you know, that's the danger you start mentioning. Representative Hogue, I believe, is here. We got a senator and representative here. Representative Smith is from Marshalltown. And anyway, for those legislators that I failed to mention, I want to say that I'm sorry. But we need the support of all legislators from both parties, and this is an important piece of legislation. The thing I'm most proud of is the way the students have gotten actively involved in this. The mentor program you put together in Sioux City and the leadership we saw from students at Marshalltown and in North Lynn has really inspired and encouraged me on this legislation. And I think the students can have an impact in visiting with their legislators as well. Yes.
Marshalltown
also has one. And we're hopeful that we're going to see this pilot project expanded and occur in a lot of schools across the state. Jake? Where's Jake? Where are you from? Tipton, Iowa.
Specific to cyberbullying, this gives us more authority to use cyberbullying when to use the investigation of cyberbullying when necessary, and you know we have to think about the fact that cyberbullying, social media bullying, didn't occur 10 years ago, and it's we find ourselves in this new situation, and we need new strategies. This will provide consistency and authority for those of us in the districts that are trying to deal with these challenges. I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question. Sure, you want to take that, Governor?
How will the effectiveness of the changes be evaluated? Well, obviously, it's got to go through the legislative process. So what we did, because it was debated in both houses last year, we listened to some of the concerns and criticism. One of the concerns we heard was it's not fair for a kid that's been bullied that changes schools to have to sit out for a semester before they can participate in athletics. So we made that change. There was concerns that with the parental notification, you may have some cases where a child could be mistreated by the parents. So there is an exception if you have the student and administrator feels that that would put that student in danger. So we've tried to perfect and improve the legislation, making those changes. Obviously, we do respect the legislative process, and I don't think you could hardly pass any bill without amendments through the Iowa General Assembly. So we do expect that the legislators may make some other changes to try to improve the bill through the process. But we're very hopeful. And as you can see, there's a broad bipartisan group of legislators that are interested and supportive of the legislation.
If I may, I would extend that just to say that you know, school districts keep metrics here. We keep records and reporting, and we'll be able to tell moving forward about the number of instances of bullying that are reported, about how we've handled those. Students through survey data, we study students who are willing to step up and become upstanders instead of bystanders. Students who are willing to report bullying, those kinds of things. So there are all kinds of metrics in partnership with the Department of Education that we can use to watch this progress.
Well, okay, are there any other questions on this subject of anti-bullying first? If not, we'll answer other questions, but I want to answer questions on this first. Yes. Right. I think there's $150,000 in the proposal bill. Last year, I think we had $25,000. So there is additional resources in there. And a significant amount of this, I think, can be done via the internet as well. You want to add?
As I watch this bill go forward, the training this year is also much more focused and specific. It's training for those who investigate and follow through on instances of bullying. So it will be a smaller group receiving the training, and there's more funding written into this draft of the bill for that training.
Thank you, Paul. Other questions on this, and then we'll go on to other subjects? Okay, we'll go to your question on the school start date, is that right? Well, as I do on most pieces of legislation, I reserve judgment until we see it in its final form. I believe that we need to follow the law, and the Department of Ed has put together guidance with regard to waivers. But, you know, I'm very willing to consider a compromise, and legislation, as we've talked about, can change a lot through the process. So rather than pledge to sign or threaten to veto a bill before I see it in its final form, I intend to reserve judgment and work with the legislature through this process. I'm hopeful we can reach a reasonable compromise. I know it's not going to please everybody, but hopefully we can resolve this issue that's been around here for 30 years. Well, I'm not going to make a comment until I see a bill in its final form. As I said, it can change significantly, and at this point, I think legislators are talking to each other about concepts, and we have not even seen a bill. No. What I said is, don't bet on it one way or the other. I just made I was just reelected. We are just beginning this term. Lieutenant Governor and I are focused on the mission that we have before us right now. And 2018 is a long time away, and I'm not even thinking about that. And I'm not a betting man. Yes, sir. Well, we've made a recommendation to the General Assembly with regard to funding for mental health. This has to go through the legislative process. We're working with the Department of Human Services, and they are getting legal advice from the Attorney General's office. They believe that it is appropriate to make some changes that hopefully will provide better services with people that have these mental health issues, and we do have two facilities that one doesn't have a full-time psychiatrist. I think that's at Mount Pleasant, and the one in Clarinda is about ready to retire. And neither of these facilities is accredited. So we want to try to provide the best services we can. We want to provide it in the most convenient way possible, and the Department of Human Services is developing their plans to, as part of the whole mental health redesign that we've been going through for the last few years. Obviously the legislature, through the appropriations process, will make a decision as to what the level of funding should be, and how these services can best be delivered. Well, again, the department is going to be responsible for administering the law and abiding by the directive that they receive through the legislative process. So we will work with them on that, but as you know, there's been many studies over the years that said, you know, having these four big institutions in each quadrant of the state might have been fine 120 years ago, but it doesn't really meet the needs of mental health today. We don't have nearly the number of patients in these facilities that we once had, because many of patients now are able to be treated at home or in a community setting with the help of pharmaceuticals and other counseling. No. What we're saying is we intend to work with the legislature, and we have to live within a budget, and we want to provide the best services we can. We're also looking at a transition to a more use of managed care for Medicaid costs, and the federal government has changed the formula again. Each year we have to pick up a larger cost of Medicaid, and the federal government's share is going down, and we have to try to find a way to deal with that financially, and we put our budget together based on the financial realities. The question is on the new region's plan for performance-based funding. This is something that the regions has studied for more than a year. The past chair of the Board of Regents, I think, chaired the committee. They made recommendations. They listened to some of the concerns that the University of Iowa faculty had about not giving enough credit for research and for graduate education, and so they made some adjustments to that formula. And they believe that this formula, especially for a university like the University of Northern Iowa, where most of their students are in-state students, that the old formula benefited students, the universities that had a much higher percentage of out-of-state students, and this formula, which would be phased in over a three-year period, will be a more equitable formula to meet the needs of all of the universities. I think it's fair. I think that they've tried to do the best that they can, and I want to work with the legislature on this, and I've talked to legislators of both parties, and I'm very hopeful that this formula, and it can be adjusted going forward, but I think the fact that it wasn't changed for the last 40 or 50 years tells us it's pretty out of date, and we need a better formula that's more in tune with the needs of our state. And this is not unlike what other states have done. All right, thank you.